Audible offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre.
As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with next listen recommendations to habituate every type of thriller listener.
The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that have enthralled you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped.
So Ronnie, I recently downloaded Squeeze Me by Carl Hyacin, mainly because it shows a martini glass with a snake tail wrapped around it. I mean, what else needs to be said? And I am very excited to listen to it later today.
New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/crappins or text crappins to 500-500. That's audible.com/crappins or text crappins to 500-500.
At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada.
You can shop Saks.com for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch.
Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker. Joining me here on the podcast and also on video is the one and only Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Hi. You need a new villain? Here I am.
Here I am. You need a new villain. We're talking Real Housewives of Beverly Hills premiere today, and I have to say, a little disappointed that we did not get to meet Diana Jenkins in this first episode. I was really looking forward to getting the ball rolling with our "You need a new villain, here I am." Because I just want to know what her voice really sounds like. Here I am, Diana Jenkins. Here I am. How are you doing today, Ronnie?
We're turning her into Elmer Fudd already. Good. What's been going on over there with you?
Not much. As I mentioned before, this is on video, and that means it's Crappens on Demand, in case you have not heard of this concept before. It's one of the tiers on... In my eyes. It's a tier in my eye. No, but it's a tier on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/watchworkcrappens, and you will get access, if you support on the Crappens on Demand level, you can access to two live streaming, live-to-tape streaming, recaps that we do, so you don't just listen, you get to see us. And of course, if you support at Crappens on Demand, not only do you get to see Bueller's adorable face, but you get to have access to all of our bonus episodes. This week we did a really, really fun recap of Top Chef, Gales in Space. Really, that's all you need to know, is the episode where they go to NASA and make space food, and we recap that for a bonus episode. We had a lot of fun with that one. So again, that's patreon.com/watchworkcrappens. And aside from that, I mean, look, it's Beverly Hills premiere day. It's a moment we all are sort of looking forward to. This was actually kind of a doozy of an episode in an emotional way. I got sort of caught up in it, Ronnie. I'm not going to lie. There was some actually pretty scary and powerful stuff in it, but some funny things.
Oh, scary and powerful, eh?
Yeah. But I also thought that I think the biggest takeaway is Sutton decided to be an asshole this season, and I'm like so grateful. I'm like, great, love this. Love
Why
Sutton being
is
a
the
huge
internet
asshole.
So surprised that Sutton is an asshole? Sutton is an asshole. She's always been an asshole. Okay, last year she was an asshole that was going after another asshole that we all wanted taken down. So everyone was like, oh my god, Sutton, I love you. Still love Sutton, but Sutton has been an asshole from the second she walked onto the show, and she's going to be an asshole the second she leaves the show. Okay, welcome to the asshole party.
But you know what? She was a nervous asshole before, and now she's a strident asshole, which is exciting. It's basically like, you know, this is the bitch flower theory, right? I mean, this is her third year, but only her second year as a full-on diamond holder. So the bitch flower has bloomed beautifully because I think she got a lot of wind in her sails in the offseason. I think she realized the internet has her back. People loved that she went up against Erica, and people were like, Sutton, like, you should not... Don't worry. Like, why are you like so like nervous going up against Erica? Like, we're all on your side. So she definitely has that cock in her walk now of like, people on the internet love me. So she just comes blazing into the season, just so incredibly self-involved. I mean, it was hilarious.
It really was. And it was very, you know, I think that you have a point about like her last season, everybody loved her. And I think part of the reason they loved her is because she was like looking into, and not even looking into, she read the article. Okay. She actually read an article. Let's stop pretending that she's like Murder, She Wrote, Angela Lansbury time. But she read an article and now she's going to just not believe anybody's anything. It's like, okay, well now Dorit's faking her robbery, which is like, well, that's quite a step to take and I'm here for the ride.
Yeah.
She didn't say that, but her whole demeanor is like, Dorit got robbed. Okay, well, we've all had a rough day. Sorry I didn't get held at gunpoint.
Yeah,
okay, sorry.
Sutton, I mean, I was like, wow, I cannot believe she's playing this card. I'm very impressed because, you know, delusion is one of my favorite qualities. And self-involved delusion is a favorite quality of mine in a housewife. But I was also like, oh, you're doing this in front of Kyle? Oh, this is going to turn out very badly for you.
And we have to, you know, Sushal Madia, our good friend, the most evil housewife ever, reminded us that Kyle had a moment in the season where Lisa was crying about her, was it Manny Kay or was it her brother? Someone had passed close to Vanderpump and she said, well, Kyle, my brother's passed. And Kyle's like, we all have things going on, Lisa. So, you know, Kyle has had one of those classy moments too. But I mean, girl, this is like the day after this lady got held at gunpoint. Like even I, and you know, I'm an asshole. Yeah. Even I was like,
damn. Like I was like, wow, you really, wow. Sutton. Me too. I waited a week
to question whether or not Dorit was robbed, girl. Like, at least, you know. And this is another, and by the way, I'm kidding, everybody. But this is another season where the drama has started. This started the first day of shooting, right? So we've all seen this story. And, you know, when the story came out, everybody's like, is this even true? Because that's, you know, it's PK and Dorit. So PK and Dorit have a lot of stories about scamming and insurance and how are they going to pay this and how are they going to get their millions of dollars paid to these people. So I think it's kind of natural to question it. I don't question it at all after watching this.
No.
Actually, just in case anyone's starting this off feeling uncomfortable, I do not question it at all. But it's during the season, you know, there was people were like, I cannot wait to see this footage. They better have camera footage to show us this because I don't believe it. You know, there's a lot of stories and stuff. Well, now we have the footage and that is how we open this episode.
And by the way, there have actually been several home invasions of these mansions and places. And actually, there was one a few months ago where a record executive's wife, I'm blanking on his name, but they killed her. So it's like it's really happening a lot. Yeah.
Black and white camera footage starts from Dorit's house. And I just wrote, oh Lord.
Like, I know, here we go. We're starting right here. Okay.
Yes. Great. We're starting with the pain, right? Okay, can I just say, you know, this footage, I need more from my burglars, okay? I know that you're not on a reality show technically or on a scripted drama, but can we get some people to make some effort at work? I mean, these guys are just literally like, like if I was their boss watching this, if I was the crime ringleader watching this, I would be like, you guys, like, do you have all day? Like, I was nervous watching this, like, you're gonna get caught, you know, like, come on.
Well, I was also criminals. Like, why aren't you guys like wearing like a little black mask with your eyes coming through and then like on your tippy toes with like a little xylophone going blink 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 blink? I was like excuse me, isn't that how burglars burgle?
Like the Hamburglar.
Should there be like a little glockenspiel as you move along, blink 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 blink?
Yeah, but all joking aside, this is fucking terrifying, you know?
Yeah, it's
horrifying. So these guys stroll up, literally just strolling up, taking all the time in the world in their hoodies, and break the glass door. And we hear Dorit saying, "I thought this is it. This is how I'm going to die." And she's crying and saying over and over, "I'm okay. I'm okay." And then it's like 3 days earlier. Boom, 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 boom. Beverly Hills. Dun, 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 dun.
Exactly. They're like, 3 days earlier, though, fun things are happening. Kyle's house has more tacky art than ever before.
Yes. Kyle's foyer is still copying Kathy's. But with Erica's stolen pink light. Mm.
And Kyle, like, Mauricio's sitting on a couch. And Kyle's like, "Honey, you're sitting on Paris's invitation." Which is like, of course, that's what Kyle's going to announce. You know, she was walking around. Like, she was just, like, stalking Mauricio with that invitation. The moment he looks like he's going to sit down, she just, like, throws it on the chair right below his butt. "Honey, oh, my God, you sat on Paris's invitation right on camera."
Yeah, but she sent her invitation as a chair. Like, who does that? You know, it's comfortable, I have to say.
Kyle's like, "Look at this," because it's like this whole big blue box. She's like, "Can you believe this invitation, by the way, that I, Kyle Richard, received? Basically the twin of Paris Hilton. It's like, I'm getting married too. Can you believe that we have this? Wow."
Yeah. And he's like, "Oh, I love the Tiffany blue. I'm surprised it's not pink, though." It's like, "Oh my God, it's covered in gold." It's like, "Yeah, Kyle." So don't show Kim that. You know that Kim, they sent an email to. Like, Auntie Kim. Kim's at the pawn shop over there with the Tiffany. "Like, this is expensive. Maurizio's sat on this."
Right? It just came in like a plastic case that she had to go to the checkout to get it opened up for him. It's like, "Damn, is this Sudafed?" So then
we go to, like, this sad little bungalow, and I was like, "Oh, my God, Erica."
I know. I was waiting to see a hobo with a bindle come out the front door, living in filth. But it was Erica, and it was Rinna at Erica's house. Erica's like, "Hey, you look great. Was that a present from self to self? Love it. Ha!"
Yeah, they're trying to be like this wacky pair of carefree friends, which obviously they're not. Erica's fucking miserable, which I love. And then Rinna is coming to see her newly poor friend wearing Gucci pants and a Gucci purse inside of a bigger Gucci purse.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of asshole does that? I love it. Today's the day where you wear your flip-flops and your Juicies. Okay. Fuck.
Yeah, she has a bag in a bag. I don't even understand the utility of that.
She's like, "Call me Gucci Light. I'm like Dorit this year. The personality I've decided to steal, Dorit." Just kept spinning the wheel.
And then we see Crystal making broccoli for her daughter. So that's...
I can't.
Exciting.
Like, this is it? This is your second season? You're opening with broccoli? Fuck.
I know. I was hoping for more. I was hoping for, like, some extravagant... Just set off a firework for some reason. Just like, "I decided to set off a firework because I'm rich and I don't care." But it's like broccoli. I'm like, I could be doing that. So then we go to South Beach, and Garcelle and Sutton are getting massages. And Garcelle's like,
We just hear a voiceover going, "Your hands are incredible." And I just put, "Well, we know it's not a Kyle scene." Kyle's biggest insecurity are her hands, which I don't really understand. Like, you can't help your hands, you know, but she's so insecure about her hands. And I was like, "Well, that's going to be Garcelle versus Kyle this year. Here it comes."
Yeah. And Garcelle's like, "I like it deep and hard." And Son's like, "Well, I never.
I'm talking about the massage, Sutton." She's like, "Stick up your ass. Tss." So then Dorit is with her kids in the airport, and she's like, "Jigga, do we have enough luggage? What do you think?" And Phoenix is like, "Can we go to the candy store?"
And Dorit's like, "Phoenix, guys, you're always thinking about candy." And Phoenix just goes, "Candy." She just wants candy. "Candy store.
You have diabetes 19 before you learn to drive, girl."
"Candy, mommy. Candy." So then we go to Kyle, who is boxing. She's like a trainer. She's boxing with Portia in the backyard. And Portia is wearing a jersey
that says Core 4. And no, I don't believe this is some old Shannon Bedore's best friends. Although I do think it's sort of funny that a tween in Beverly Hills would be like, God, I love Shannon Bedore's friend group.
But I believe this was a reference to, is it like is the Fox Force 5? Don't they call themselves the Core 4?
Renee, I don't know. Fox Kyle. Force 5 was the last one I heard, but I don't know what they've called it since Teddy got the X.
I thought it was, oh, well, maybe I'm just projecting. I thought Kyle, Erica, Dorit, and Rinna were Core 4.
Core Slore. Let's see. Core Slore. Yeah, let me look it up. Core 4 are former New York Yankees baseball players Derek Jeter, Andy Petitti, George Posada, and Mariano Rivera, I guess. I mean, would it be for that? What are the Core 4 in health? Oh, God. Do I even want to know? Cuniega's The Method Program names the core 4 foods you should use to compose every plate. Healthy fats, protein, non-starchy carbohydrates, and starchy carbohydrates. M&Ms aren't in here. Go fuck yourself. Cuniega.
Yeah, I think that my theory is actually completely unsubstantiated. So we're just going to have to go with that. Portia loves Shannon Bedore's friends. I think that's just the best. There's no evidence that the theory I was like so sure about. I was so excited to be like, Ronnie, can you believe they've made T-shirts for themselves? And there's no, it's not a thing. It's just Fox Sports.
But hey, 5. We learned about baseball and the foods that people we don't even know are telling us we're supposed to eat. Like they fucking know us. Okay.
Either way, so, I still appreciate that Portia is still standing potentially for not Gina, because Gina's not a Core 4.
Well, I stand for Portia coming back to the show and being like, I'm different now. I've got a new haircut.
I'm Billie Eilish. Her, yeah.
Yeah, she's got like her, I'm a girl who doesn't care, which you could tell by my hair. My brother's going to write a tune for those lyrics.
I'm singing a Bond song now.
Yeah. So I don't know why we're crazy today, but Portia is like, Kyle's like, Portia today is vastly different than Portia last year. We've got her hair so you guys would see it. You know, last year she wouldn't get out of bed, you know, and I was struggling as a parent because I just didn't know what to do. Like, I've never been in a pandemic before. Like the rest of us who were just all fucking used to it and doing just fine.
I mean, I know I was a nurse on the famous television show ER, which ran for many seasons. And so I know what it's like to be in an emergency medical situation, but I've never been in a pandemic. And I don't know, new Portia, she had a bat mitzvah. She became a huge fan of Shannon Bedore. And it's great. She's really just shining now.
I'm so glad she could find a way to enjoy that day we spent a couple $100,000 on a party for her. She walked around with a little diamond tiara on. God, she's strong. She is just so strong.
Kyle goes, at Portia's bat mitzvah, I started to see the spark in her eye again when she was the center of an elaborate party where we lavished money and presents on her.
It's a literal disco ball. Then Mazel Portia starts hitting her because, you know, they're practicing with the bag or whatever. Then we go to Welcome to Miami Beach. You beat me to the tweet. They're in a condo in South Beach and it's Garcelle and Sutton. And Garcelle is like, oh, wow, look at this. This is lunch. What are these, cupcakes? I think this one has coconut on it.
And Sutton's like, I don't like cheesecake. And Garcelle goes, oh, I don't like cheesecake either. No wonder we're friends. I'm like, excuse me, you cannot come onto a show with a large gay audience and do a scene from Miami and say you don't like cheesecake. Okay, exactly. Some of us have very strong associations of cheesecake in Miami. All right.
Yes, they should have had the mayor of Miami show up with like, you know, a background of, thank you for being a friend, traveling down the road and back again, while he kicked their asses out of the city, okay?
By the way, this entire scene, I kept on expecting Marisol to pop up, because, you know, if there's, like, if someone, like, just brings a camcorder into Miami, she's popping up in the background, like, hi, got my cockies, hi. Oh, there's a camera from Bravo here in Miami. Hey, girls.
Just here to make some straw noises while you talk about cheesecake.
I heard you guys need a gay icon on Beverly Hills. Am I right?
So Garcelle's like, thank you so much for being here for the Children of Haiti, Sutton. And it's like, oh yeah, I'm just so sad about it. It's just such a horrible place to be. And they're on this gorgeous balcony overlooking the beach, you know?
Yeah. And basically the two of them are single. They're ready to mingle. And so that's
it's a Haiti fundraiser. Thing. Is that what I said? What there did I say? The Children
yeah,
of...
Yeah, no, Children of... It was like Angels for Humanity, which is, I think, to help, you know... It was a charity that is for Haiti, and I don't know. I don't remember if it was for the children, but one has to assume the children.
Oh, I didn't know if I misspoke or whatever. No, so Garcelle is like, you know, I'm single, she's single, we trust each other, and that's it. We're traveling together. And she tells Sutton, you're single and ready to mingle, huh, Sutton? And she's like, yes. Thank you for rhyming and making that more fun, because I am. Look at me, ready to have some fun in my little Marshall's pants. And my well, they're not Marshall's, but she's wearing kind of like the. I think she thought they were going to be in Palm Beach and not South Beach.
Mm.
In other words, you know, she's yeah. very like Hampton's mom instead of like, you know, you're supposed to have your boobs up to. This is South Beach, okay? Your boobs are supposed to be up to your chin. I need to see the rings on your belly button.
Well, it's very hard to focus on fashion when there are all these godforsaken cheesecake factories everywhere. I mean, why would they torment us like that? Am I right? So then we go over to Rinna, who is talking about Amelia has moved to New York. She's moving to New York. She's already moved out of her apartment. And she just did a shoot for Rinna Beauty.
Rinna Beauty, it's going through the roof. Selling direct to consumer on Instagram. How are you, Rinna Beauty?
I love that she makes selling direct-to-consumer sound so glamorous. She's like, we're selling direct-to-consumer! Wow, congratulations. What a deal. And Erica's like, hey, you want some tea? And she's pouring it. She goes, this is going to be hot, by the way. Like, yes, Erica, we know how tea works. Erica's just figuring this shit out. Like, do you know that they actually boil water for this shit? Ridiculous.
This is a liquid, by the way. Just so you know. You put that knife down.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Hungry Root is the easiest way to eat healthy. They send you fresh, high-quality groceries, simple recipes, and essential supplements. It's like your personal assistant for healthy living.
So you take a fun, short quiz, and Hungry Root will get to know your personal health goals, what you like to eat, and more. And then they'll build you a personalized cart with all your grocery needs for the week and give you delicious recipe recommendations to put those groceries to use.
Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. We love this place. It's like, I like eating this, this, and this. I'm a vegetarian. Eat some fish sometimes. They send you all these groceries that all fit into exactly what you like.
Yeah, I have an issue with snacking in that I always want to snack, but I often snack on things that aren't always as good for me. And it was really great to get all sorts of healthy, nutritious snacks from Hungry Root. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Watch What Crappens listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life.
Just go to hungryroot.com/crappens to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies.
That's hungryroot.com/crappens. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
Well, I'm getting to that age now, Ronnie, where I see myself on camera and I can see the back of my head. The hair is thinning out. And honestly, I mean, I have to imagine that the past few years, the stress in our world, in our lives, has impacted it.
I mean, your hair is never just about your hair, and Nutrafol knows that. It could be your job, your deodorant, your hormones. It could be almost anything that has almost nothing to do with your hair. And that's why Nutrafol takes a whole body approach to hair health, addressing the problems inside to help hair grow on the outside, supporting your lifestyle, not just your hairstyle. With Nutrafol, building a hair growth routine is simple. Purchase online, no prescription or doctor's visits required. Free shipping and automated deliveries ensure you'll never miss a day. See results in 3 to 6 months.
Address your root causes of hair thinning with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code CRAPPINS.
Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code CRAPPINS.
That's Nutrafol.com, promo code CRAPPINS. So, she has a big bouquet that's there, probably from like Mikey, but it's like from the secret admirer. And everyone's like, have there been some dates? No, but I've had some sex though. Wow, my vixen pop star having sex. Wow.
This is from my secret boyfriend in Canada. And Rena's like, wow, good, because you've never done that, right? Had sex? And Erica's like, well, actually, not really, because I was married to Tom with my whole life. So, wow.
It's like spending your whole life eating raisins and not knowing there's a whole world of grapes out there. Am I right, everyone?
Like a virgin. Hey! Touch for the very first time. Like, oh, geez. Rena's like, why do I keep coming to this shithole for scenes? Why?
So then we get Erica, her first interview scene, and we see her first look. And now, a season late, she decides to dress like a church lady. You know, she's now in this, like, very conservative, like periwinkle or like lavender Chanel thing. She looks like she's literally about to propose where the next fundraiser is for St. Thomas's Episcopal or something. And she's like, well, I'm back in the dating pool, in between my Bible studies, of course, and I'm much more interested in having really good sex with some nice people and maybe some not nice people.
Ooh. And Rena's like, well, I have things to share. I was surprised when I saw Sutton on Watch What Happens Live. And so, of course, she tells us, I was thinking when I saw Sutton, wow, Sutton looks great, doesn't she? I saw Sutton walk out there and I said, hi, Sutton, how are you? She looked great. Me and Sutton, like this. God, I love Sutton. Yeah. And then she dissed me. Sutton, why?
So now we see Sutton on Watch What Happens Live, and we see her. She goes, a few years ago, Harry and Lisa, I invited them both to the Elton John Gala, and they came with me as my guests, and I never got a thank you. So it's like, dun, dun, dun. Thank you gate is going to be what's going to drive this season.
Oh my God. All week I've been like, of course this fucking show's coming back. Because Rena's Instagram is like posting all these stories of like, and here's proof that Elton John loves me and that I'm always at his Oscar party. And she's posting pictures like, here's from 1981, 1982, 1983. You know, going through all the years showing that her and Harry have always been there.
Yeah.
Which, of course, the point is, which I'm sure we'll get to a zillion times in this, that yes, maybe you went the same way that everybody goes to a movie, but not everybody walks down the red carpet of that movie. Okay, there are tables that are a lot of money to sit at, and she invited you to sit at her very expensive table.
Yes, everyone get ready. This is probably the first and most calm debate we're going to have over. Actually, we're on the same side, though. There's no debate. It'll be the first and calmest version of this, because you know in like 5 weeks we'll be like, I mean, it's a fundraiser and there's tables and you buy a seat at the table. I mean, what's so wrong with it? But right now we're like, listen, there's tables. Right now we're in Dolores. We're going to get our way to Margaret.
I was so disappointed that I had... that I believe Dorit's story. Like, I was very disappointed in myself. I was disappointed in the country, because normally this is the kind of thing that I'd be like, she's lying and here's why. Yeah. But I believed it. So I was like, shit, I'm robbed of a good Beverly Hills season. But now we have Elton John gate to take us through the next 8 months of our lives.
Yeah. By the way, I do want to mention that in my notes, at one point in my notes, I put in brackets, Ronnie will rant here. And I'm excited to see if my prediction is right. I'm not going to tell you when it happens. So, Rena's like, so I was watching this and in my bedroom and my jaw was like, yes. But that's only because I realized I could put a bag in a larger bag on it, baby.
Oh, God. So she explains that. Wait, what does she explain? Nothing, really.
Nothing.
So then we go back to you. Garcelle and Sutton, and Garcelle's like, well, I saw you on Watch What Happens Live, so you have anything to say about that? And she's like, well, I didn't do it with the intention of humiliating or upsetting Lisa Rinna. And she's like, well, I thought you were standing up for me, which I thought was quite lovely, actually. And then we see the clip of Rinna saying, Garcelle, I didn't get a thank you from you when we brought that sauce over. I would have loved to say to Harry, She'd love the sauce, and she's thanking you for it.
But I was robbed of that. By the way, I'm just thinking about this, and I'm sure we'll make this point many times over, but Rinna getting all upset about Sutton saying this, she certainly didn't seem quite as upset when Kyle accused Garcelle of not paying for that charity contribution two seasons ago. So, you know. Did I make a point that was salient, or did it just seem salient?
You know what? I was lost. What'd you say? Say it again. I'm serious. It wasn't your fault. No, it was my own.
I realize I'm jumping ahead because I think that, like, I feel like Rinna's going to try to, like, rally people to her side about this. And she's like, she said I didn't say thank you. I'm just saying, if she thinks it's tacky that Sutton brought this up on Watch What Happens Live, which admittedly it kind of is, but if she's, like, all offended by it, I wish she had the same amount of shock and sense of offense. Is that right? When Kyle said on the reunion, well, Garcelle, you bought that thing and you never paid for it for my charity, you know, which is like the same thing. I don't know if it's a strong point, but it felt really good when I started. And I'm just going to see it through.
Let's see. So then Sutton's like, well, you know, you did say thank you. She goes, yeah, I mean, I said it when they were there. And she goes, yeah, well, it doesn't matter how big the gift is.
Right.
If it comes from the heart,
yes,
I need to thank you.
Right.
I was like, but isn't this about Garcelle not giving the thank you? Like, we're getting our storylines confused here, you guys. And this is, like, literally the dumbest storyline, I think, to ever be on this show. And that's saying something for this show.
Well, now Erica said, I think my point would have been better if I said it right after this part, because now Erica goes, why would she go on TV and say something like that? Well, Kyle did the same thing to Garcelle. See, now my point makes a little bit more sense, a little bit.
So she could get back her friend and show, she could have the back of her friend and show that she's some kind of, and Erica goes, good friend, basically. Well, I'm loyal. As a matter of fact, Lisa did this to me and didn't say thank you to me. Yes, exactly, Erica.
It's like, oh my God, you're real Veronica Mars over there, the both of you.
I know that Erica is not ridiculing Sutton, you know, doing, like, showing loyalty to a friend when that was literally all of Erica's thing last season. Like, I remember the people who were there for me and the people that weren't there for me. But you're not there. But this is all shakes out. Guess what? Only some of you got to come to my concert. You know, like, I know Erica's not coming down on Sutton for being a loyal friend.
And Rinna does this all the time, too, where she comes on the beginning of the season acting like she was the one who was wronged when she's always the fucking villain. She's like, how could Sutton do that to me? You came for Sutton all season last year. Do you not remember?
Yeah.
So hilarious. But Rinna is consistent, you know? Yeah. Just comes back like, how could she? That hurt me. Yeah. All I thought when I saw that was, God, Sutton looks amazing.
Yeah, Rinna's doing her. I mean, look, it's frustrating because I feel like Rinna is, like, so full of it. But, like, also that's what we want from her. So, you know, now, like, when she, like, Rinna can play the victim so well. I can't believe she would say that about me. So,
well, that whole thing came up in the first place because Garcelle wasn't doing what Rinna liked. Rinna didn't care that she didn't say thank you properly for the sauce. That was because Garcelle had confronted Rinna about being mean to Denise Richards. And so Rinna was like, oh, really? Well, it hurt my feelings about the sauce. So Rinna has successfully turned this into pasta sauce fighting instead of how she completely fucked over one of her best friends. I mean, it's just gold. It really is.
You see Sutton and she's like, well, I think that Lisa's going to be okay with this. And Garcelle goes, yeah. And then we cut to Rinna going, don't come for me on national television with your fucking bullshit. Sorry. Sorry. I'm like, again, we did just see the clip of you saying, I never got a thank you text about Harry Sauce. And we did live through a season of Denise Richards, etc. So, like, I know... For Rinna to complain that someone's going to bring bullshit up on TV is hilarious.
So funny. And Erica goes, she picked the wrong bitch. And they start cracking up and Rinna's like fake smoking a cigarette, like with her Charles Nelson Reilly sunglasses from like in Hollywood Squares.
Yeah. And the screen freezes and I was like, created by Paul Junger-Witt. And then the credits roll. So then.
Okay. So now listen, guys.
I know that Trixie Monocle has some issues. She's hard to work with, maybe does a little too many of the drugs in the recording studio, etc., etc. But you got, like, we're gonna have just rap music now on Beverly Hills, really? Like, that's really, guys. Who do you think you're fooling? Bravo's like, look at us. Look how inclusive we are. We're putting three rap songs in Beverly Hills. Like, Beverly Hills, no. You don't have the street cred to pull this off. I'm sorry.
Excuse me. I have a follow from Drake. I have a follow from Drake.
So we go to Crystal's house. Kyle's like, do you like me now, Drake? Do you like me now? Started from the bottom. Now I'm here, Drake. So Crystal is like, we're at Crystal's house. And we're in her basement. So Crystal's having one of these storylines, the old basement renovation. Like, we usually get the kitchen version, but Crystal's doing the basement. Last season, she started this, and she was digging some crazy pit in the floor so that way her husband could top golf. But now she's in there, and there's a pizza oven coming in, and Sutton comes over and goes down to the basement, and Sutton has to pretend like she's not horrified by this monstrosity.
To be in a basement, yes. You're so right. Wow,
this is so cool. So you put in... So, okay, so dark tile. Okay, so this tile's coming out. You're placing it with something that's fashionable, right? Oh, no, this is what you decided to put in. Interesting.
And Crystal's like, well, this is where the pizza oven's going to go, right? No one needs a pizza oven in their basement.
In the basement. It's like a fire hazard.
Yeah. This does not sound good. You live in fire country, Bam. Okay.
Is this where doing the indoor campfire station?
And Sutton says this the same way that she says, I love tents whenever she's forced to drive downtown. She's like, I love these floors.
Now, are you going to be giving your guests complimentary booty so their feet don't ever have to make contact with these bricks? Oh, no. Oh, interesting. Okay.
And Crystal's like, this is Eldemar. He's my contractor. Eldemar said this is going to be done in 6 weeks, right? And Sutton goes, why do you all lie? Why? Just say 6 months, Eldemar. Okay? Everyone knows you're a lie.
Eldemar's like, please help me. They only pay me in Lion King DVDs, and that does not put money on my table. Food on my table.
So. It's a circle of dough that burnt down the neighborhood.
Eldemar's been really living that Hakuna Matata lifestyle a little bit too much with his face, but we love him. We love him. Wow, a lot of Elton John references already.
Oh, it's an Elton John day on Beverly Hills, y'all. So they go, by the way, I'm sitting in my non-squeak chair. You're welcome, audience. Okay. And now my thighs feel like they're being sandpapered together.
Don't get mad at us. Okay.
I know. No one even said anything. I was just going through an episode editing and it was like, well, Ben.
Remember my Shannon Bedore chair? I had that one chair that every time I backed up, I go, ow, ow, ow.
So I'm sitting on one of those little pleather, you know, dining room chairs from Target, and my thighs are not reacting well to it. I'll just say that.
This chair's from IKEA. You should get it. It's comfortable.
Listen, it needs to be a strong chair for this booty, okay? I move around a lot doing this. I'm a big person. I've gone through like five office chairs because they work for 5 minutes, and then I do one show, and they're like, they're falling off. They're like writing letters home, you know, like, save me, please. So anyway, let's get back to Crystal.
Families.
Yeah, Staples is like, who keeps sending
it? Jonathan is in a terrible household. We have to send help.
They're like rolling very slowly across the country.
It's like, yeah. Chair down Abbey.
Jonathan has been sent overseas. He's gone to the continent for a better life, but he's not appreciated yet. Someone sent him. Send for him. Send for Jonathan.
So they go upstairs to have non-caffeinated drinks, and Crystal's like, yeah, I didn't really start off on a good place with Sutton, but, like, she wanted to get together, so, like, we talked through our issues, and it was fine. So she tells Sutton, yeah, like, we got through our issues, right? And she goes, yeah, our issues were so dumb. She goes, yeah, like, so dumb.
Yeah, like, when you were being really ignorant about my race, that was so dumb. Yeah. Care for some cheesecake? So, Sutton's like, you know, we were so exasperated with fighting that we dropped our barriers just a little bit just to get to know each other. And guess what? I never thought baseball could bring us together, because there's a picture of them at a baseball game, which I guess is where they had their breakthroughs and realized that they could actually just be friends.
Because you know why? It's not baseball that brought them together. It's the special opera box seats that brought them together. Because I think, you know, like coming from Sutton's perspective, it's hard to find a genuinely rich person in Beverly Hills to be friends with that you can complain about poor people with openly. And then she found Crystal, you know? It's like, that's friendship right there.
Well, I think this is what happened. They both were sitting there, and then the vendor comes by and is like, you ladies want to dodge a dog? And then at the same time, they say, ew, that's disgusting. I eat caviar, not hot dogs. Jinx. Oh, my God. We're so the same. Double jinx.
Oh, my God. We said fire that poor person at the same time. You owe me a non-caffeinated Coke.
And they high five.
So Sutton... Sutton's like, well, I think I may have had a little slip up, and you know my mouth, you know Crystal. Crystal's like, yeah, been there. She's like, yeah, I maybe said something about Lisa Rinna, which maybe I shouldn't have said. So what is wrong with me, Sutton?
God, what is wrong with me being a fan favorite and everyone liking me? What is so wrong with me? So Crystal's basically like, look, I'm good with Sutton, but like, you know, I'm not blind to the fact that she acts all like, oh, I'm just being cheeky when it's really her way of taking a jab. I'm like, yes, that's why she's a good Real Housewife. That's exactly how we like it to be done. So
they're talking about dating, and Crystal's like, well, maybe I can help you find some guys to date. And we see a clip of Andy at the reunion going,
so you got dumped by that weirdo you were dating. She's like, yes, I was devastated, but then some time passed. I'm still devastated right now.
And so she's like, well, I'm dating for the first time in my life, so you want to know my qualifications? Well, he has to be handsome. He has to be tall. Oh, please. We saw the last one, okay? The last guy was, like, dipping dots left in the back seat. Let's not pretend you're looking for, like, Brad Pitt over here. Breathing, working.
Well, what she's looking for could be very different from what she finds. So she's like, he's got to be handsome, tall, educated, and likes cats. She's like, do lions count as cats? Because I think I know some animators.
Yeah. Eldemar loves The Lion King. You know, he's got about 99 copies of it. Eldemar, get up here. I might have somebody for you.
We often call him our own little stray cat. So now we go to Erica. She's at a gym. I don't even write down what the gym was called. It was like, are you ready to get burned? Like the gym was called like Burned or something.
Oh my God, this fucking show. The walls, here's what I know about it. The walls say, I came to slay.
Yeah, it's called Slay. The gym is called Slay. Gym is called Slay, and it says, I came to slay. So Erica's there with a trainer named Lulu. And the chyron that Lulu gets is trainer/Olympian. I was like, really? You're going to lead with trainer before Olympian? Poor Lulu.
So Garcelle is like, well, I don't know where I stand with Erica. I have some trepidations, which is funny. And then Sutton's like, why do you have anything to do with Erica? And Garcelle's like, well, I'm going to go meet her and I'm going to tell her it's not okay to attack you the way that she did. And Sutton's like, no.
I don't like it. I do not like it.
So Garcelle meets Erica at Slay, and Erica's like, hey, ça passe, I learned it. And they're like laughing, it's very nice. And then we see they work out with Lulu, and then of course it's the obligatory send the non-cast member out of the room to some like to hide in a closet while they shoot a scene. So Lulu goes off to nowhere, and Erica's talking, and she's like, you know, on the darkest days, I'm looking for anything to take me out of the pressure. And the last thing I wanted to do was work out. I really did enjoy some fast food, and I drank more alcohol than I ever have in my life. But when you order Taco Bell and you don't remember it, but the wrappers are in the kitchen, that's a problem. I'm like, that's not a problem. That's literally like Taco Bell's entire marketing strategy.
No shit. Don't judge me. It's happened to me multiple times.
If you remember Taco Bell, you wouldn't be going back.
So, sponsored by Taco Bell.
The people at Taco Bell are lovely.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Do you struggle trying to reach those corner lashes when applying mascara? L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara catches every lash for corner-to-corner volume.
Your sister has been using this, right?
She loves it. Yes, they sent me some and I gave it to my sister and my nieces. And actually, I looked at, I saw my niece the other day and was like, your eyelashes, is that the new mascara? She's like, yes, look at them. They were like fanned out. I mean, this is a great product.
You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Want to see life in panorama with fully fanned out lashes? Now you can with L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara that creates corner-to-corner panoramic lash volume.
When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you be enjoying great-tasting dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals that call it home. This is dairy you can feel good about. It's great tasting, high quality organic dairy, ethically sourced from small organic family farms. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop. That's ov.coop.
So Erica's like, oh, how pretty. Isn't she gorgeous? How are you guys?
Like Erica's trying to come into it with this positive, like, aren't we friends attitude. And Garcelle's like, well, I'm just so busy, you know, working. I was in Miami. I saw my sisters. We had dinner. And then we see the clips of the sisters at dinner. And Garcelle's like, God, I miss mom. They're like, she always liked you more.
Sutton's like, oh my heavens, because she's there too. So then Erica's like, oh, so Sutton was with you? And Garcelle goes, yes. And are you going to apologize?
She's like, to who?
To Sutton.
For what?
You threatened her.
When?
Last season.
Where? At Kathy's house. Who's Kathy?
She's got a line, okay? If you want an apology from Erica, there's a fucking line, okay? Get behind Pepper back there, Pepper. Okay? In the line of fucking orphans. So she's like, I'm apologizing for shit. She goes, yeah, but you said if you ever come for me again, I'm coming for you. And then we get a new version of the, it goes, doink.
What, doinks? That's embarrassing. You got a doink in there? Doinks. You got a doink? They borrowed that from Survivor when someone thinks they're going to like survive elimination and then they cut to a crab walking around and go, doink. You know?
So Erica's like, well, that could mean anything. I'm coming for you. I mean, listen, the Uber driver texts me that occasionally. What do I hire security about it?
Chris was like, Erica.
She goes, well, I was backed into a corner. I can't apologize for not apologizing. Stare alike.
Yeah, and Garcelle's like, well, she was freaked out. I mean, look, this is a woman who's startled by yogurt, okay? So you must understand how scary your words were for her. I mean, I would have been freaked out. Just kidding. I'm way too established in Hollywood to be freaked out by anything you could say to me.
Listen, the only time I ever asked Sutton to walk anywhere, she got freaked out by a walking sign and called the police saying a man was trying to flash her.
She called the manager about a traffic light. I mean, you just have to be careful with her.
I mean, Sutton is ridiculous. I'm coming for you. I'm getting security. That could mean murder. She could have murdered me. Like, okay, Sutton, okay.
Yeah.
So Erica's like, listen, I will say this about Sutton. She talks a lot of shit.
And when you're taking swings at people, they're going to swing back. Sutton chose to repeat things that have been proven false. Now they've all been proven false. There was never $20 million in my LLC.
And she says, I'll never get away with that, even though it was never true. I never had it. It was never in my hands. It was never in my account. Erica, it's on your Amex, girl. They released the Amex papers where you can see millions of dollars of charges that were paid for with that money. According to things on the internet, Watch What Crappens does not take responsibility for anything actually said on this show. None of this is real. Thank you for coming.
Ronnie, I'm slightly disappointed in you because I was expecting a little bit more of a conspiratorial rant from you in that moment. That was, in fact...
Oh, was that it?
That was it. I'm sending you a screenshot of my notes that says Ronnie will rant. I was like, it's happening. My prediction's coming true. And then you sort of were like pretty chill about it. And I was like, wow, what's happened to Ronnie? He's not going to. I thought you were going to pull up like, and I was on the Bravo docket and the 20 million was there. And then I went here and there was 20 million. And then they found it that she owned five chairs, office chairs, and were each worth 5 million.
Listen, I usually get to be like that towards the end of the season. Right now it's episode one. So I'm like, isn't this fine? Oh God, what fun criminals. This is fun. Like in 10 weeks, I'm going to be like, you fucking liar. I've got pages and reams. But yeah, for now. And Erica's just like, I said this in our preview of the season. Erica, all I really ever wanted from Erica is just to admit to being an asshole. I know she kind of does when she's like, I don't give a fuck. Like, that's her personality. But she still always pretends like she's a cool girl and she doesn't care. She's a full-on villain this season. And I love a villain. Listen, my favorite Disney character is the octopus. Who comes out of the water and sings Poor Unfortunate Souls. It's bookmarked in my YouTube. When I need to feel good, I watch her terrorize the Little Mermaid. Okay?
Ursula, if you will.
So, you know, Erica has a chance with me this season. That's all I'm saying.
I think the thing is that, like, as much as she says, I don't give a fuck, she's the one who's actually the most bothered by everything all the time. And so I think all anyone wants from any good villain is someone who truly doesn't give a fuck, who is just like... unbothered and just creates chaos everywhere. And
now that's her. Now she's like, fuck those orphans. I don't give a fuck about them. What about me? Oh, your mommy died. I mean, the previews they have of Erica, she is just so vile that I'm like, oh my God. Now this girl I would see on Broadway. Okay, sign me up.
Well, the best part is that like when she's like, well, I never had the money. It was proven by Judge Judy and Judge Reinhold together. There was no money whatsoever. And the bankruptcy trustee said that Erica Girardi never touched the Lion Air money. And then it just cuts to Garcelle going, oh, okay.
Okay. Because you know, this is like my hobby is Googling this shit and I've never read that. Okay. So Garcelle's like, right. So she says, well, other than Erica saying she's been disproven, I haven't seen anything in the blogs, in the press. Anywhere, really. And Erica's like, the facts are in my favor. And so when she's saying things, and she goes, but weren't all the girls saying things? But she led the charge. No, Kyle helped lead Sutton into that charge.
Yes.
And the fact that you've watched that and still don't see that is hilarious.
Yeah. She goes, I feel very strongly about things that have been disproven. So then we cut to Erica in the interview. We also get a glimpse of what it's probably like to work with Erica. And the producer's like, so how and when was this disproven?
Well, I don't know. You'll have to check all this shit. Wow, but like it was disproven. So Bravo could do their due diligence because I don't really know. Okay? So
the producer, and she's drinking a huge martini. She's like, yeah, I don't fucking know. All right.
And the producer's like, is the proof available to the public?
Yeah, duh. Tell them to go read everything my lawyers put out and they can answer their own fucking questions. Thank you very much.
Wow, Erica. Erica, aren't you poor enough? Do you really need to lose your job on top of all of this? How poor are you going to be, Erica?
Okay. I wanted Bravo just to put up a blank headline. Like, you know how they always put up like a paper slice with the headline on it? Just an empty paper slice with like some, maybe an emoji like, huh? I don't know. Headline.
So Garcelle's like, wait, so everything's dismissed? And she's,
no, it's not dismissed, but listen, it's time to chill and have a little fun.
And Garcelle's not buying this. And she goes, listen, every day I would wake up to a new allegation, a new story, a new lawsuit, a new documentary, a hit piece in the LA Times.
I was an answer on Jeopardy, for fuck's sake. That was actually pretty cool. Did you see that? It was a good one. But like, still, I'm very mad. Still waiting to be on Wheel of Fortune, but apparently I'm on Wheel of Misfortune.
So Garcelle's like, well, can you?
It's just a wheel. It's just a wheel in a junkyard, just lying there.
I'm just on a wheel. I'm a hubcap, basically.
Yeah, this is the Teresa storyline, you know. And Real Housewives of New Jersey is airing at the same time as this. It's like, she's mad that the news is out. She's mad at the person talking about what's already out there, you know?
Yeah. So Garcelle's like, well, can you sue them? And she's like, well, that's down the road, okay? I'll have to wait for a moment. My Range Rover's in the shop, so I really can't go down any roads at the moment. So Erica's basically like, look, these are civil lawsuits and I have not been charged with a crime. And she's saying this in her second interview look, which is full femme fatale. She's like in scarlet red or like a, it's like a sat. I think it's like a satin. It's sort of like a shiny fabric. And she's got like red gloves. Like,
and the pink like under eyeliner, the eyeliner like the that goes all the way around her eye. It's like the princess of death, you know, it's like the princess of the Spanish flu or whatever.
She has like literally just dropped by a private eye's office to look into the disappearance of her husband or something. Like she's like, I swear, I've been charged with no crimes. I've done nothing wrong whatsoever. I'm like, okay.
And Garcelle's just like, well, listen, I'm not going to ask any more questions about Tom. If you want to share, you share. Okay. I want to move on from this. And she's like, me too. And, you know, I mean, he's in a facility now and it's just so open-ended. It's weird. Hold up. Let me squeeze between my eyebrows a little bit. Oh, it hurts so much. And they're like, so are you divorcing Tom? Are you divorced? What happened with that? And Erica's like, well, there are some questions about divorcing a mentally incompetent person, so I've got more lawsuits to fight. I'll just get divorced when I can.
Because right now he's in a facility. Because I say facility, I have to say facility. I have to enunciate that too extra hard because I really show how important it is. It's a facility. He's in a facility. Not a facility, but a facility.
So then now we go to Dorit's house where her kids are doing karate in the backyard, and Jagger has that sort of spirit that only a child could have, where the karate instructor, whose name is Linda, which cracks me up, but Jagger's like, I want to do 15 push-ups. Let's make it 20. Let's make it 25. I was like, wait till you're over 30 and you're like, give me one push-up. That's all I need. Thank you.
I can't. I couldn't even make a whole push-up because my stomach was dangling there. It like cushioned the push-up. Isn't that sad? I've been doing them on the stairs. And by doing them, I mean doing this. I lean against the stair and I go, ow! And then I go eat. So, yeah, he's like, let's do 20. And she's like, how about we do 10? And I was like, what kind of trainer wants less? Oh, the kind of trainer who does the push-ups with the team. Oh, I would be saying no more, too, because she got down and actually did that. Listen, Linda, if you can't do 15, don't do them. Make the kids do them.
Yeah, Linda, listen. Linda. I just have to say, I'm looking forward to the day when Jagger is a black belt and he just like beats up some hooligans in the street and they're like, where'd you learn how to fight like that? And he goes, Linda taught me.
Linda in the backyard of my giant rental mansion. They're like, whoa, Jagger, yes. So Dorit's like, Jagger has always shown interest in sports, but that little Scottsdale, she just blows me away. And sometimes, do you mean Phoenix? No, hate the place. Hate it.
I was wondering where you were going with that.
No, your daughter, Phoenix. Don't have a daughter, but this little one keeps running down the street from wherever she is.
So Dorit starts FaceTiming with Garcelle, and Garcelle's like, how was London? How was wedding? And Dorit's like, oh, it was so wonderful that we had to put the blindfold on poor little Phoenix to get her out of the airport.
Yes, Phoenix, we'll get you some.
So Dorit tells us that they immediately became friends, but then they hit some bumps in the road, and then we see a clip of Dorit going, and I thought, gee, she's bullying me. Gee!
Lots of little jabs. Gee is for jabs.
So then Garcelle's like, well, Miami was fun. Yes. And so then, you know, Dorit's like, well,
she's like, now I know. I just have to limit the words I use with Garcelle and we'll keep it short and sweet.
So it's like, ha, 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 ha.
And she limits her words. Dorit, your words are already limited. Let's face it. You're Dorit. Okay, yeah. Limit it anymore and you'll be talking in Morse code.
So it's basically the scene sort of ends with Phoenix going up the staircase and throwing her little belt at Dorit. It's like, ha, 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 ha. And then it fades to black and we're like, oh shit, here it comes. It goes later that night. And then we see the footage of the break-in.
Yes. Okay, so we see this footage, and Dorit is kind of voicing over it, and she's saying they came into her bedroom, they had a gun to her head, and she thought, this is it, this is how I'm going to die. And she just said, let me help you, I'll show you where everything is, please don't hurt me, my kids need their mommy. This is scary as hell.
Yeah, I got like chills hearing it. It's like terrifying. Yeah.
Yeah, this is scary. So basically we find out that we see the news footage and they demanded $3 million worth of handbags, which that number varies as we go on. But she's basically tells a story. And of course, all the other housewives are like, I watched the news and I said to myself, they probably took her lip gloss. I'm bringing her some more. Bring her some Rinna Beauty. Bringing it to her.
I mean, when I watched that on the news, I was just like, I can still not believe what Sutton said on Watch What Happens Live. I am still in shock about that.
Carl's like, I just need her to know that she can rent anywhere that she needs in the agency family. And Erica's like, Donkle Shine, darling, Donkle Shine. Like, Erica, this is the Dorit robbery scene.
Oh, right. Tell Bravo to do the due fucking diligence. Call me fucking later, all right? Fuck you.
Not guilty.
So then now it's like 1 p.m. and Rinna's driving along with Crystal and they're just talking about it. And Rinna's just saying, like, this is just like so terrifying. And she's just like, that Dorit's basically in shock. And she's like reiterating how these robbers were basically like, we're going to kill you, we're going to kill you, we're going to kill you. And Rinna's saying that she would, like, you know, as I think most parents would say, like I would die for my children right away. But like, just even having to like put themselves in that scenario, they're both starting to cry. Like, Crystal's starting to cry. She can't even imagine feeling that way in her own house. So they're both like crying. And then it cuts to Kyle, who's like looking out the window, also crying, but also sort of like very self-aware crying for the camera. It's like very much a, are you getting this right now? Are you getting this? Me sideways?
Yeah, staring out the window crying. So Sutton crying. Comes over and Kyle's like, I just feel so silly having people over after what Dorit went through. And Sutton's like, oh, you're crying? I was going to cry in the car because, you know, I had cookies and I left them in there. So
yeah,
That was rough.
Yeah,
Sutton, and she's just Sutton's acting like, really weird, right? Because Kyle's like, no, so this is the we all cry and make it about ourselves scene. What are you doing? Sutton's like, cry. I'll tell you what was crying. The car wash person, when I told him, I'll give you a tip, clean better, stupid, and drove off. Because that was something.
She goes, my allergies are so bad. I look like I've been crying, but I haven't really been crying. Nothing really happened that was cry-worthy. Am I right? Guess what I found in my car? Cookies. Cookies from yesterday. Chocolate chip and molasses. Now that'll bring a tear to your eye. Am I right, everyone?
And Kyle's like, Dorit, robbery. And Sutton's like, well, the paint looks great in here. Looks good. Looks good, Kyle. Looks almost clean. Good for you. And Kyle's like, but what happened with Dorit? You know, it's terrifying. And, you know, I was on the phone with Maurizio just bawling about it. I was bawling about it. And Sutton's like, well, I've been putting fires out all day, too, but might just be that kind of day. Did you know that Crystal tried to put a pizza oven in a basement?
Like, I've been putting out literal fires, okay? A pizza oven in a basement does not create water. It creates fire. So
there is a man named Eldemar in a hospital right now with bandages all over his body, humming Circle of Life through a feeding tube.
So Kyle's like, what fires are you putting out? She goes, well, I got this French designer I'm bringing in, and immigration is just, listen, let me tell you about immigration. And Kyle goes, that doesn't seem like a fire after what Dorit went through. So I was like, it is for me and my business. And the fashion world, okay, and what I'm going through. I've got a French designer. Fires, okay. He actually caught himself on fire.
This scene is just like, whoever is doing this year must be getting paid big money because this scene has like 20. So Sutton's like, well, that's a big deal for me and my business. You know, Dorit's being robbed. I can't get a designer over the border. Doesn't it seem like the wrong people are building walls? Do you know what I'm saying, Kyle? Kyle's like, Jesus. She's like, wow, I don't think that seems bad after what Dorit went through. She goes, well, yeah, it is bad. And Kyle's like, well, I know it's your business, but I thought you were going to say something more like, I got robbed at gunpoint, or, you know, something to like actually compare to what Dorit's going through. She's like, well, it's all relative. I mean, okay, I do have a French designer. stuck with immigration. My life could be ruined. Crystal almost killed a man named Almodovar or something. But I guess I wasn't held at gunpoint. Sorry.
It's like, wow. I actually have a theory. I have a very dark theory. I have a theory because Sutton's father shot himself. And I feel like shit like this, she can't deal with. So she has to act like this. That's like the only theory I can wrap my mind around how she's acting like this, you know? And so Kyle's like, what is wrong with you? Like, that's what she tells us. Sutton goes, well, it's been a weird day, weird morning. I mean, allergies and cookies. Am I right? What a day.
Yeah, I mean, look, there are a lot of reasons she could be reacting like this, but I feel like going into any of them would sound like it's excusing it. And wow, she's acting like a total dick. Yeah. And Sutton's like, well, it's been like a movie. And Kyle's like, The Purge? No, Green Card, Kyle. Gerard Depardieu. Tallish, handsome, likes cats, I think he does.
Well, I'm going to get myself into therapy on Monday. As I said, I'm going to get myself into therapy. And guess what? I did. Because I just feel this weird energy going on. Oh, goodness. I'm so glad that finally I'm going to be in therapy. Because that's what matters the most right now. Whew, Kyle, I'm glad we cleared that up.
So Crystal and Rinna, back to them driving. They're like, oh my God, isn't this sad? As they go to the Undies to, you know, do like this crazy fancy party for Harry Hamlin. She's like, how can we have a party for Harry Hamlin? How can we celebrate right now? How? Oh my God, I love this. Is that an open kitchen? That's great.
Chris is like, I love how you guys have your pizza oven not in a subterranean room. This is a really cool idea.
Have you ever accidentally hit a golf ball into that thing? How did it react? Because our neighborhood's gone now. So.
So they talk about Harry's turning 70. Harry's turning 70. And so it's going to be his 70th birthday party. And talking about like, Rinna's like, nobody looks better than Harry at 70. As far as I'm concerned, he's still the sexiest man alive. With great sauce. Guys, I wish you had been thanked more for that sauce. Oh,
well. Well, you know, I don't know how Harry's going to thank me for this party, but, you know, he could throw a pan at my face and it would still be a better thank you than I got from Garcelle. So, gosh, I don't know if we can do this. Dorit. Okay, we'll be here tomorrow. Party of 20. That's great. Thank you.
So then we go back to Kyle. Yeah.
We just get like a random at the end of the scene. And then it's back to Sutton and Kyle.
And Kyle's like, so again, just want to remind you that Dorit suffered a home invasion. It was scary. Do you perhaps want to react to that? Well, I gotta say, Crystal says she's gonna have some people that she wants to set me up with. Can you believe it? What a crazy day. All of a sudden I've got dating prospects. Am I right, Kyle? What a day.
And Kyle's like, yeah, I mean, by the way, all my friends are dating, but they're not dating from an app. Like, you can't just use an app for that. She goes, I don't care if they're rich, you know? So, look, maybe my qualifications are a little different than your friends. And yeah. she's coming for basically calling Kyle's friends poor gold diggers.
Well, she's specifically Erica. Well, she basically was like, my plan for the scene was to come in and go in on Erica. And I don't care if Dorit got burgled because I came up with these lines and I'm going to say them. So Sutton's like, I have my own money that I got from my ex-husband. So I look for character, humor, and I guess unlike Erica, I don't need money in order to make myself feel better, even though I kind of just said that sort of is implied since I said I already have my own money. But anyway, right. Maybe Erica misses her big house. Did I say big house around Erica? I'm so sorry.
Yeah, she's going a little too hard at the beginning here, you know, which can't do that. Gotta wait till the time is right, Sutton. So she's like, yeah, maybe she misses her big house and her money, her lifestyle. And, you know, maybe she needs to look for someone who can provide that for her. But I've already found that man and left him and still have the money. So, Sutton, you don't need to make your own sound effects. Well, just in case you forgot to add one, I just wanted to make sure there was
This is going to backfire on Sutton so badly. The audience is going to turn so hard on her. Yep. It's going to be hilarious, but I think it's wonderful.
And I love that she's just like this mean, like older late, old southern lady in a towel dress that costs more than my house, like judging you. That's always the ones dressed like fucking crazy people. It's like, I went to a Barbie toga for 70-year-olds, you know? It's like, yeah. Well, who dressed you? You know, she's like snotty and holier than thou. She's going to get it this season.
Yeah.
She's already apologized.
Has she?
And as, yes, and we haven't even talked about it. She apologized on Monday, and this show doesn't air till Wednesday, and she's already, all the headlines are like, Sutton apologizes for how she handled Dorit.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to, she's, I feel like the audience is going to turn on her, and somehow Erica, they're all going to, everyone's going to love Erica this season, and that's just the way it's going to go.
So Kyle's, Southwise, baby.
Yeah. Kyle's like, you know, I just want to say that when I look back at this past year and I think about all the things that happened with us and we argue and we say things, and Sutton just goes, no. She goes, well, do you want to finish my sentence? She goes, I want to hear it, but I just disagree already. Go ahead. I love the idea that like Sutton is pre-disagreeing with Kyle Richards. That's a great chance.
Because she already knows what fucking Kyle is doing, you know? She knows what she's doing. She's smart enough to see what Kyle's doing. So we see the clip. She's saying, I feel bad that I didn't speak up for you at Kathy's house when Erica was coming after you, but I also know that she probably left that night and lied in bed crying her eyes out, you know? And Sutton saw that coming a mile away. Like, oh, here we go. Now, you know, I know that was rough on you, but Erica's the real victim here. And Sutton's like, are you serious right now? I'm supposed to be feeling sorry for her right now. What about Gerard Depardieu won't come here anytime soon? Did you not hear out of my mouth, Kyle?
And then Sutton really goes in. She goes, she was so mean to me that night. A rich white lady. I can't believe it. She was awful. And no one stood up for me. And you feel sorry for her because she went home and cried. And Kyle's like, I'm not defending. I guess I'm defending. I know that she does this whole like tough bitch persona, and that's like not her when she's really hurt, you know? And Sutton's like, well, go talk to all those victims. Go talk to those families. They are crying. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. To bring it up to me, mm-mm. It sickens me.
Mm-mm. I love a thin-lipped mm-mm. Mm-mm. It sickens me. So Sutton's like, well, you know what? Why do I get in trouble, but the men don't get in trouble? And Kyle goes, you mean PK? And she's like, and your husband, Kyle, who was also in that scene laughing with PK. So gotta love that Kyle is even in this scene where she's like crying. She's like, you mean PK?
And Kyle's like, well, she definitely was upset with him and me and Dorit for laughing. And Sutton's like, was she upset with you? She goes, she was.
Oh. So she's like, yeah, well, I mean, I know that Erica's still mad at me, but, like, she needs to know that her friends have her back. And Sutton's like, well, I have now seen who she is as a friend and as a person, and if that's who you want to be friends with, have fun.
Yeah. So now it's the evening, and we're at Kyle's house still, just later at night, and Kyle still doesn't know how to use her bottle opener. I'm saying still because it's not like something that we've seen before. I'm just saying that like in life she bought this bottle opener at some point and now here she is on TV and still doesn't know how to use it. So
that's Kyle for you. But she's got a rap song behind her for it. I'm the boss. Like, why are you playing this for a Kyle Richards scene? Who's doing the music this year? Have you seen this show?
Yeah. So Erica shows up and Erica's like, Kyle, it's Erica, in case you couldn't smell the scent of innocence.
Carl's like, you don't think I know your voice? And she goes, well, I know it's annoying, and everyone knows my voice. And she's like, listen, I'm good. Are you good? Do you want some wine? And Erica's like, well, there's some positive things happening. I'm more concerned about Dorit than myself. I just don't want to believe it. I mean, it sucks so bad, you know, both of us being robbed. So soon, I suspect widows and orphans were the ones who robbed her, because they really are on a tear, Kyle.
God, you should see what they did to Tom's eye. So then Mauricio comes in, he's like, I was going, hello, hello. And Erica's like, oh, you hurt my feelings, Mauricio, ha, 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 ha. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, I never would Never want to hurt your feelings, Eric. Oh, I'm so sorry. She's like,
oh, you know I'm sensitive. Ha, 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 ha.
So, of course, giving Mauricio a total free pass.
Kind of giving credence to what What's-Her-Buns was saying, right?
Sutton
was saying, mm-hmm. right? It's like, for the men, it's just a laugh and a ha-ha. But you're still rich, and you probably know a lot of other rich people. So I'll make it, you know, it's yeah. fine with you. But also, you know, the men deal with it differently, too. He's just like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm the sorry. End.
The end.
You know? That's why they don't have housewives with men, right? Mm-hmm. It would just be over. So Rinna comes over, well, straight men, I guess I should say, because we wouldn't be like that. No. I'd be like, oh, you're sorry? Okay. I would just be the Sutton, the yeah. poor Sutton. Anyway, the point is, Rinna comes over, and she's still, like, in her weird big sunglasses. Like, that's her thing this year. Really big, weird sunglasses indoors. And they start talking about how bad their pictures are in the press when yeah. they went to see Dorit.
Yeah, they're so upset because the Paps got all these low angles or whatever. By the way, they're all look complaining
about
fine.
The angles. They're complaining about the angles at a robbery shoot.
I know. I mean, like, there is definitely, like, a shot of Erica that's, like, less flattering. But by and large, they all look totally fine. But they're just, like, so, you know, self-conscious and vain. They're like, oh, my God, we all had double chins. All of them being like, well, it's fine.
Yeah.
So.
And then Dorit comes over in sweats and a depression scrunchie. And Kyle's, you know, basically.
A much-earned depression scrunchie.
A much-earned depression scrunchie. I just like to point out, whenever there's sadness, the scrunchies come out. It's just a thing. I've just noticed it on Bravo. So she comes with her well-earned, you're right.
And Rinna claps. Rinna does her Rinna clap, but she does, like, a subdued Rinna clap. She's like,
oh, look at how respectful the seal is being today.
I know.
Hold on. Let me give you a respectful laugh. Dorit.
Respectful.
How are you?
Respectful. So
Dorit talks about, you know, how the kids were out of town, how PK's out of town, and the kids always want to sleep with her, but just last night, for whatever reason, Phoenix fell asleep first and she put her in her bed. And she was so happy to just be asleep because they were jet lagged and stuff. And then she hears the door open and she's just assuming it's the kids. But she doesn't, you know, the kids never come in or anything. And so she gets out of bed and that's when she sees somebody in her room.
I mean, yeah. Like, literally terrifying. Like, it's just... just horrifying. And the guy puts a gun to her head. And then, like, the other guy, she's, like, hunched over and she's, like, sobbing, like, please, 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 please. Like, just take whatever you want. Like, don't let the kids see this. Don't, like, please don't hurt my kids. Like, their kids, my kids need their mommy. The other guy is saying, like, kill her now and everything. She's telling this story. And everyone listening is, like, horrified. Like, you know, like, they're crying. And it's like, this is not a for TV cry. Like, this is a, like I think it was totally chilling hearing this story, you know.
Yes.
She really thought she was gonna die. I mean, she had a gun to her head, you know. And basically so then while she's telling the story, by the way, Garcelle comes over and, like, in the middle of the story, and she's like, oh, Dorit. And Erica goes, hey, Garcelle, they had a gun to her head. Thanks, Erica, thanks for that really, like, sensitive moment that you just had there.
And the dogs are barking because Garcelle's coming over. So the dogs are barking at someone new. And Dorit starts freaking out, like, oh, my God, get security, get security. And she's like, no, don't worry about it. They always bark. And Dorit's just, like, in a really bad place. So Garcelle's, you know, they basically, I mean, I don't know. They just all comfort Dorit, basically.
Yeah, basically Dorit finishes her story, which is that essentially the robbers took whatever they could fit into the comforter. And Dorit was like, listen, guys, it's been 20 minutes. You guys should go because you're going to get into trouble. Just, like, please, please, please don't take my cell phone. So they, like, said, okay, we're going to put your cell phone by the gate and, like, give us a minute to get out of there. And they got out and they did do it, which was surprisingly, like, a weird moment of, like, niceness for these awful assholes. And she got the phone. And, you know, by the way, like, Dorit really did save her family, because I think on some level she must have, like, she created enough empathy that they didn't harm her or her family. And that they, I think, I feel like the fact that they, like, said, we'll leave your phone, well, give us a minute to get out of here, shows that in some way she got, like, she connected with them in some way. So she really did save them.
So then PK comes over.
Oh, this was really sad.
Yeah, so PK comes over and he sees her and they start crying. You know, yeah. He starts crying. And basically talks, you know, how fucking sad it is, you know. And then Mauricio's like, oh, hello, my man. Come on. How you doing, my man? How you doing? It's like, my wife just got robbed at gunpoint. Mauricio's like, hey, how you doing? You want a drink? Come on.
Kyle's like, I don't mean to interrupt this very emotionally charged and, you know, very intense moment, but dinner is served and I don't want to promote anything, but I cooked the asparagus. It's my favorite asparagus. Anyway, dinner over here.
I cook better asparagus than anybody here.
This is my famous salmon. Continue.
So basically they eat and it's like a nice, you know, friend dinner or whatever, considering. And Rinna offers to cancel Harry's birthday tomorrow. And PK's like, no, love. In my religion, we never cancel a happy event for a bad one. We're not going to let these fucking guys ruin our lives, babe. And so everybody's leaving and PK and Dorit go out into their car and he's like, oh, shit, I can't find my phone. And she's like, baby, your phone's not here. Should I text you? And then she just breaks down. He goes in. Yeah, she sits on a bench outside and he goes in to find his phone and she just loses it and is sobbing on the bench. It's so sad.
It's so sad. And I mean, I feel like I've seen portrayals of this kind of trauma in movies and TV, but I never really have like seen someone so fresh from it. And it almost seemed like I was like, wow, I can't even imagine. Cause to us, it's like, she's just sitting on a bench surrounded by a camera crew, surrounded by friends, like fully safe environment. And yet she feels totally rattled right now. I was like, oh, it was like very heartbreaking to see for this family.
Yeah. Yeah. Super sad. But good first episode.
I know.
Of Beverly Hills. Yeah. It was a good one.
Just broke our hearts, but you know, hey, the good news is everyone's safe and sound, so they can...
I'm okay, but it was sad, but it was, you know, it's a good first episode. And Dorit goes through a whole thing this season because, like, Dorit even stopped posting on Instagram.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, like, kind of sounds like a joke, which it kind of is, but, like, for Dorit, that's a huge thing. So she really goes through something this season. And also, the season has the most cast members ever. It's 10 cast members this year. Not 10 full-time. I think it's 8 full-time, though, and 2 friends of. So it's going to be nuts. And the previews of the upcoming season... they're confronting Erica about coming for Kathy. And Kyle's like, so you're saying that you're just coming for Kathy because you went through bad stuff last year? She goes, you're damn right. I'm like, she's going nuts. The new Lady Diana looks like a cartoon villain. Yeah.
You need a new villain? Here I am.
So it's going to be an interesting season. It looks like it's going to be good times.
Certainly. Anyway, everyone, thank you so much for listening and watching. Again, go get our merch at crappensmerch.com. Bonus episodes on Patreon. If you didn't watch this, go sign up for Crappens on Demand and you can watch all this stuff. And we're gonna catch you next week with a whole new week of recaps. Thanks so much,
everybody.
Bye. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Wee McLovin, Karen McClellan.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
She's our queen, Marie Levine.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica 500 Days of Summers.
The Incredible Edible Matthews Sisters.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender.
My Favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No One Makes Us Feel Well Like Megan Capsewell.
Paging Paige Mills, Paging Paige Mills.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She leaves us in stitches, it's Catherine Taylor.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Kristen, the Ruby Rubano.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking violet.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch or Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
50 high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. I'm your host, Shimo Liai, and I was Nevada's contestant 20 years ago. Now, I'm returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks with 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after? Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.